How's it going, everybody? Welcome to episode 220 of the Lake Erie Currents podcast, brought to you by Fairly Decent Golf. Love you, Bobby. Hope you're doing all right, man. Hang in there. Check out the Big Cartel store that Fairly Decent Golf has, where they carry our merchandise. If you're interested, and use promo code Currents. And thank you to all of our sponsors, of course, and the patrons. New B-side is going to be coming out. Again, if you want to get into knob news and weird news, we got you covered, and that is only for the B-side, not to be re-released as a bonus for anything. So that's for them. $2 a month is all it costs to get that extra episode. All right, so let's get into the thick of it real quick. We've got a couple things we're going to talk about today from a threat assessment. We'll talk about Gen Z today, but first and foremost, toxic political attacks on social media creating a nation of cynics. I don't have cable television. However, I was informed the other day that every other commercial is a political ad of some sort because it is election season, and it seems like we never get out of election season now, does it? It always just seems like it's a constant cycle of BS that people have to deal with. And then on social media, I do see ads for different politicians running for certain things in the Buckeye State. And of course, for His Majesty the deposed Donald John Trump running for office again. Congratulations to all of you on getting two old, demented white men to run against each other one more time. We really appreciate it. Great job, everybody. I hope you're proud. But this report's very interesting, and I want to get people's take on it because I'll tell you what, if you do voice your opinion, I have boomer relations on Facebook, and there's a lot of boomer con posting, but there's also shitlib posting. Like, I have family members who only watch CNN or Fox, and they both take it as gospel. All right. And for me, I can't understand it. I don't, again, free thinking people don't fucking take what they have to say as gospel. But my family members apparently do. So let's get into it. And of course, they voice it on Facebook, which is the worst platform ever. But it's good for family and all that other shit. Hostile political arguments on social media seem to be as common as vacation photos these days. Could simply seeing all the anger and vitriol be changing how people view the political arena entirely? I think it's possible. New research from the University of Michigan sheds light on troubled trend, the rise of political anger and cynicism fueled by exposure to hostile and uncivil attacks on these platforms. The study recently published, excuse me, from the International Journal of Press Politics investigates the relationship between exposure to political attacks on social media and political cynicism. Lead author Ariel Hassell, assistant professor of communication and media and an affiliate of the Center for Political Studies at UM, Institute for Social Research, and her colleagues found that people who were exposed to more political attacks on social media were more politically cynical. Let me go ahead and stop that right there. I think cynicism, and Christopher, I want to know what Christopher has to say. I want to know what everybody has to say about this. But I think cynicism might come with age too, because it's like you've been through so many of these cycles, and this is the most important election since the last election, since the last election, since the last election, since we were kids. Like, there has to be a level of cynicism when you consistently see things not getting done, promises not fulfilled, rights eroded. You don't have to be a card-carrying anarchist to be a political cynic and saying, I've seen this song and dance before, and this is why I'm a cynic. Do I think that on social media it's increased? Does that increase the level of cynicism? It might. What do you think, Christopher, before we continue?
I mean, of course, like, how can you not be cynical? Like, I don't know. I guess there are the vast majority of people buy into one side or the other, but like you said, how can you not see the constant cycle of horse shit where it's, politician A makes this promise and politician B makes this promise, if elected, and then when they get elected, none of them follow through with it. Like, just for a recent example, Joe Biden promising student loan forgiveness. We all see how that panned out. And that's, and I guarantee you that that's what a lot of younger people probably voted for him for, is because they were like, yeah, this dude's gonna erase, 10 grand of my debt. How you feel now, buddy?
Yep.
Welcome, welcome to reality.
Welcome to Club Cynic, right?
Yeah, and it's like, how can you not be cynical at that point? Like,
Truly. Sucker born every minute, as P.T. Barnum said. Political cynicism, defined by the researchers, goes beyond healthy skepticism. It involves a wholesale rejection of people and processes in democracy, God if only, and a belief that politicians are guided by corrupt, self-serving interests rather than a commitment to the public good. All of those statements are not a definition of cynicism. They're a definition of the current situation. Okay, that's not this is not cynicism. This is an understanding of the situation. This is political intelligence. You understand. If you espouse those views, you get it. You're not a cynic. You just know how the game is played. So I disagree with this, but the cynicism can delegitimize the democratic process. Once again, God, if only, distorts people's interpretations of political information and lead to disengagement from politics. Once again, the disengagement is a wonderful thing. It's good for your soul. It's good for you if you don't engage in this horseshit, because it's not beneficial for you. It's important, quote, it's important to understand how feelings of cynicism emerge, because we're seeing many democratic governments facing a crisis of legitimacy, Hatzell said in a media release. Our findings provide some of the first evidence of how exposure to political attacks on social media might relate to political cynicism in the context of a U.S. presidential election. The study's results, based on a panel survey of 1,800 American adults fielded during the 2020 election, show that perceived exposure to political attacks was associated with more anger about the state of the United States, which was subsequently related to greater levels of political cynicism. Again, how can one not be a cynic when two geriatric old white men are battling for the most powerful position on the planet? Okay? One of them's a complete retard and a self-serving fucking megalomaniac, and the other one, go ahead, what?
I was just gonna say, welcome to the Dementia Dome.
That's right.
That's what it is.
And then the other one, speaking of Easter coming up, has to be wrangled by the Easter Bunny. Like, that's that image, as long as I live, Easter is always going to be associated with Joe Biden being wrangled up by the Easter Bunny in the Rose Garden because he started rambling to the press about shit he shouldn't have. Again, that lives in my memory forever. And
Quite
thank you.
fondly,
Oh, yeah,
quite
no.
quite fondly.
Chris and I cracked up then, and that was almost what, fucking 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and we're cracking up now. It never
Still
gets old.
funny.
It's
Still
still fun.
fucking funny.
Yes, it is. This finding, excuse me, is particularly concerning given the current political climate in the United States. A 2019 NBC, WNBC, Wall Street Journal poll, NBC. Though some of you have no idea what we're talking about, and you should watch the movie and ask me what it is. I'm not going to tell you what it is. A poll found that nearly 7 in 10 Americans reported being angry about the political establishment. And a 2023 survey by the Public Religion Research Institute showed that a quarter of Americans agree that true American patriots may have to resort to violence in order to save our country, up 15%. In 2021. Well, neighbor, think about what from 2019 to 2023, what people saw, and they're like, you know what, we might have to shoot some motherfuckers to fix the problem. Well, while we don't condone violence, I'm not saying violence is wrong, but I understand their spirit. We get it. We get it. Social media plays a significant role in amplifying this anger and hostilita. Political context on these platforms is often toxic, and algorithms reward and amplify attacks because they're engaging. Studies show this makes outrage more potent and visible, giving users a warped view of what the public believes. If your main source of news is social media, you are more likely to perceive politics as hostile and angry, Hessel said. And beyond the feeling that political attacks provoke, it matters how people perceive and read the temperature of public emotions, because this can impact assessments about the country's well-being and its ability to solve problems and accomplish goals. The study also found that anxiety, another negative emotion elicited by uncertainty and threats can be driven by political fear-mongering and social media toxicity during a presidential election. While negative emotions aren't necessarily bad for democracy, they can drive people to the polls and motivate advocacy. Relentless negativity about a country under threat can also lead to frustration, disgruntlement, and disengagement. Anger can affect our ability to see things as they are and make measured decisions that are important in a democracy, Hessel said. The researchers warned that more people turn to social media for news and information. Repeated exposure to political attacks may further promote political cynicism. This is a concern because cynicism can make it harder for people to make sense of political information, leading to apathy, disengagement, or even a turn towards fringe parties and anti-democratic forms of participation. When this was written by the University of Michigan folks, this report, what do they mean by anti-democratic forms of participation? I'm going to tell you that they're thinking of only one, okay? And that's anybody who's a righty, okay? Because people on fringe parties, let me tell you something, the commies are anti-democratic too. They're not a big fan. They're a big fan of Vanguard Party. You will do what the fuck. You will dig the hole, comrade. You will dig the hole. They're not fans of democracy either. So before people think they're the big fucking heroes of the story, wait and see. So what can citizens who use social media do to break this pattern? It's amazing that people actually fall victim to this shit. An easy way to avoid getting angry and cynical is to be mindful about focusing on non-hostile civil dialogue.
I don't know how to do that.
It's impossible.
I do the best that I can, but sometimes I'm fucking hostile. But I don't talk about politics. I mean, in everyday life, I'm just like ready to fucking go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. If you're seeing a lot of hostility in your social media, you can think about re-curating and unfollowing people who are fomenting this kind of hostility. We don't find that social media use in itself is making people angry and cynical. It has to do with how we decide to use it. As the United States approaches the 2024 presidential election, it's likely that political hostility will surge online.
You don't say.
No. This is a country
what?
Of reason.
I don't believe it.
That's why they just put up two geriatric, fucking demented old men to run against each other. It's likely political hostility will surge online. This study serves as a timely reminder of the potential consequences of this toxicity for our democratic processes. It's up to each of us to be mindful of the content we consume and share on social media. Christopher and I don't have this problem. We look at food porn. Okay? Yeah, I'm sorry. There's no politicizing a pizza that chicken and waffle pizza. There's no politics involved. There's just hot sex on this fucking pizza. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. The health of our democracy may depend on it. Well, then in that case, you can count me out. How about that? Not a fan of people telling me what to do, democratically or otherwise. So
democracy.
Yeah, that's always. I know that this is a one-sided article. They're talking about radicalization of a certain group of people. That's the thing that pisses me off, because like even the research on this is still directed in one direction. Like you could sniff it out. This is directed towards one group of people.
Yeah.
Right. Whether they're Q-tards or whether they're righties or whether they're MAGA fucks, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. This is directed towards them, because I know that the people at the University of Michigan don't think anybody who leans to the left is a problem. I know that they don't see it that way, right? But whatever.
Nope.
Now, switching gears here. Angel, what do you know about Haiti?
I know that there was people who had children taken away from them in Haiti.
By the Clintons?
By yes.
Yeah.
And then there was like a, was it an earthquake or a tsunami?
I believe it was an earthquake.
Okay, that's all I know.
Okay, quick lesson. Haiti was the first successful slave-led revolt that liberated it from a European colonizing power, which was France. His name was Toussaint Louverture, and he kicked the French out of Haiti, and they established their own country. They have had a lot of violent problems in that country currently. They overthrew the government, and it's a gang of cannibals or a cannibal gang. Either way, there's people being eaten involved. that are rapidly taking over the country. Like they liberated the prisons and all sorts of shit. Like it is a wild place. Not on my list of places to visit, 0 out of 10, not recommending to anyone. You heard about this, right, Chris? Like
Oh, yeah.
this cannibal gang is running the country now. So it's only a matter of time before Uncle Sugar steps in and says, "That's enough of that shit. Wait and see. It's on the cards." I got to hand it to Atlas News. They put together a threat assessment, powder kegs across the world, which I think is very good. This is a very good article. We're going to go through this here. The Office of Director of National Intelligence has released annual threat assessment based on the input from the United States intelligence community. Focus on key regions poised for intrastate turmoil. Okay, domestic unrest, economic discontent, or governance challenges fuel cycles of violence, insurgencies, and internal conflict. The Balkans, always known as a very peaceful place on this planet. The Balkans, always known as getting along, lots of good things happening here, including the beginning of the Great War. Yeah. The first region mentioned in this assessment is the Balkans, specifically Western countries in the region, which will probably face an increased risk of localized inter-ethnic violence during 2024. Nationalist leaders are likely to exacerbate tension for their political advantage, and outside actors will reinforce and exploit ethnic differences to increase or protect their regional influence or to thwart greater Balkan integration into the European Union or Euro-Atlantic institutions. The assessment highlights two main issues: conflict between Serbs and Kosovars, same shit, and increasing political tension between the Republic of Srpska and the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Again, actors from our childhood who got along just fucking great back then when Yugoslavia broke up. The history between Serbs and Albanian Kosovars has been rife with ethnic violence for decades. Tensions between Kosovo and Serbia saw a drastic increase in ethnic and political tensions in 2023 due to a domino effect of events. While ethnic and political tensions have persisted heavily since the Kosovo War, they have increased due to political spat over ethnic Albanian Kosovar authorities attempting to ban Serbian license plates issued before 1999, which are almost exclusively used by ethnic Serbs in northern Kosovo. Do you see what happens here? This leads to ethnic Serbian police officers, judge, and government officials in Serb-majority municipalities in Kosovo resigning en masse to protest, spurring fears of increased ethnic violence and political volatility. License plates. License plates. Due to the resignation, snap elections were to be held in December 2022 in northern Kosovo. In the ethnic Serb municipalities and Albanian Kosovar officials deployed special police forces to the Serb-majority municipalities to provide security for all citizens. However, their presence unsurprisingly led to a flare-up of tensions and clashes, which postponed elections until April of 2023. These elections rolled around. Ethnic Serbs boycotted them in protest as well, which was backed by Belgrade. Due to the boycott, ethnic Albanians won elections for the municipalities and took their positions. Who didn't see that coming? Protests to block officials from entering their offices quickly deteriorated into clashes between ethnic Serbs and the Kosovar police. Likewise, 25 members of NATO's multinational Kosovo force were wounded by incendiary devices during the clashes. Okay. More of the same. Again, known as a very, you should go vacation there. It's a very, very nice spot. Always getting along.
Always.
Another place synonymous with peace and tolerance is Sudan. Sudanese armed forces and rapid support forces are still fighting because their leaders calculate they can achieve their goals absent a negotiated cessation of hostilities. With Sudan at the crossroads of the Horn of Africa, the Sahel, and North Africa, it could once again become an ideal environment for terrorist and criminal networks. The assessment added that warning factors in the country may be receiving more foreign military support, which is likely to hamper progress on any future peace talks. While already marred from ethnic, religious, and political violence for decades, fighting reported in Sudan on April 15th amid power struggles between the RSF leader Mohamed Dagalo and Sudan's de facto leader and army representative, Commander Abdel Fattah al-Burhan. Intense fighting and a rapidly deteriorating security situation resulted in foreign countries evacuating its embassies and citizens from Sudan as both parties fought for control of the nation's capital in Khartoum. Nearly a year later, fighting still continues. Despite sanctions against Sudan, Wagner transferred its assets to newly created local companies, that is PMC Wagner, the Russian military outfit, according, to carry out mining operations. The Sudanese gold sector, marked by lawlessness and factionalism, allows Wagner to navigate without adhering to regulations and operate through goodwill fee arrangements with various factions. The gold is then smuggled out of the country. This gold can be used to skirt international sanctions against Russia, which has drawn in suspected Ukrainian special forces to the country to counter Wagner operations. The Sudanese theater of the Russo-Ukrainian War. Who had that on their bingo card? None of you did. Next, another lovely place that we all know, Ethiopia. A new conflict emerged in the Amhara regional state in April 2023 when the Ethiopian government clashed with Amhara militia, and fighting persisted throughout the year. While the cessation of hostilities agreement in November of 2022 between the Ethiopian government and the Tigrayans ended a 2-year war, unresolved territorial issues could lead to a resumption of the conflict. In September of 2020, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, the ruling party in the region, held elections in defiance of the government due to COVID-19 restrictions. The TPLF dominated Ethiopian politics as the ruling party from 1991 to 2018, when the current Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed took office. The TPLF has a long history of bad blood with Eritrea, depending on, I've heard it pronounced both ways, having waged a bloody border war from 1998 to 2000 that killed 70,000 people. Ahmed won in 2019 the Nobel Peace Prize for playing a main role in ending hostilities between the two countries. November tensions boiled over into conflict. When TPLF forces attacked the National Defense Force Northern Command headquarters, leaving several soldiers dead. Fighting continued as the TPLF, backed by fighters of the Oromo Liberation Army, continued to push. Anytime I see Liberation Army, I automatically think Marxist organization. Great, wonderful. Continued to push into the Afar and Amhara regions while making a break for the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa. On the year anniversary of the start of the conflict, rebel forces began positioning themselves to advance on the capital, causing federal officials to declare a state of emergency.
Liberation. Like, we come to liberate you of your freedoms,
Yes, and property.
and we've come to liberate you of your property.
Yes.
Get out there and dig.
You get dig hole.
Yeah, it's like, but I'm an artist.
You'll dig hole.
I wanted to spend my days at the commune writing poetry and teaching children how to read and finger paint.
Yeah, I love those post-revolution posts on the
Oh
Reddit
my
commies. Oh God, they're fun.
God.
Yep. Well, post-revolution, I want to teach. I want to teach liberation, whatever, to children by reading them, and then it's like, interesting. You really think that you're going to be part of the ruling class, don't you? You really do.
Right.
Yeah. You will dig hole. You will work in mine, or you will dig hole for grave. Either way, you will dig. That's how it
Right.
says.
Right. Those are your options. Dig. Dig and dig.
Yeah. One results in a long day at work for no pay, and the other one results in just your corpse. You get to choose. However, and you know what? In the end, Chris, you may get the other one anyway. Doesn't really matter. These things usually don't work out for regular people, unfortunately. The conflict has killed tens of thousands, with millions more being displaced amid human rights abuses and war crimes. You don't hear about Ethiopia having this. Like, I heard they have the Ark of the Covenant, but nobody's been able to figure that one out. Whatever. Yeah, I didn't know Ethiopia had such hard times coming their way. You know what I mean? Let's get to Haiti. Let's get to Haiti. Okay, so Angel was right. The Clintons, the kidnapping of the children, for what you already know was happening. Haiti was also including the assessment stating the conditions will remain unpredictable as a weak government institution loses grip on power. It just did. to gain territorial control, particularly the capital of Port-au-Prince. This will be coupled with an eroding economy, infrastructure, and increasingly dire humanitarian situation. Gangs will be more likely to violently resist a foreign national force deployed to Haiti because they perceive it to be a shared threat to their control and operations. In 2021, Haitian President Jovenel Moïse, not Moist, but Moïse with an E, was assassinated by a group of gunmen consisting of Colombian mercenaries at his home. What a fucking interesting place. Launching a country already marred by political, economic, and social unrest even more into a spiral as gangs reign supreme, while Haitian security forces have been unable to counter gang violence and has been it ha that has been plagued by resource issues, corruption challenges, and limited training. The security situation has collapsed in recent days following large-scale and coordinated jailbreaks at the Haiti's National Penitentiary and Croix des Bouquets Civil Prison, which was allegedly orchestrated by infamous G9 leader Jimmy Cherizier, also known as Barbecue, who proclaimed, "If Ariel Henry, or Henri, does not resign, we'll be heading straight for civil war that will lead to genocide." End quote. That is a quote. Cherizier became internationally known in 2022 after he and his gang set up a blockade at the entrance of the Varoux fuel terminal in Port-au-Prince, Haiti's main fuel terminal that houses 70% of the country's fuel resources, which is an alleged protest towards acting Prime Minister and President Ariel Henry. According to Reuters, Cherizier stated that, "We are sending this message to Ariel Henry. Resign, resign, give the country a chance. For the moment, you are the one executing the plan to destroy the Haitian people. We are removing you because of that." Likewise, Kenya's long-planned police deployment to Haiti, which has already faced several months of delays, has faced yet another delay as Kenyan government announced that they are holding off on the deployment to the country after Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry resigned earlier this week amid an influx of gangs and lawlessness. Initially, the gang's goal stated to force the resignation. Since they have succeeded in this, it's unclear what exactly their next goals are. However, Cherizier has stated ambitions for a complete change in the Haitian political system. This comes as Haiti continues to face shortages of fuel, food, electricity, and water, as well as a cholera outbreak. You want to know why his name is Barbecue?
I was just curious. Like, I wonder how he got the nickname barbecue. Like, I'm sure it was because he hosts a lot of family-friendly barbecues for all the Haitian people.
Of course,
Of
it
course.
has nothing to do with eating people, nothing to do whatsoever with barbecuing humans, nothing to do with that, nothing to see here. Move along. Once again, you want to go there? I know that there's some shit lib who'd be like, "Oh, I'm sure they're great people. Let me go hang out." You will be eaten. They're going to eat you first. Okay? They're going to eat you first. We're not going to Haiti. Not recommended. 0 out of 10. And of course, another bastion of freedom and wondrous socialist progress is Venezuela. Okay? Known for
Venezuela.
Venezuela. Muy bien. Lastly, the assessment highlighted Venezuela, stating that disputed Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro retained a solid hold on power and is unlikely to lose the 2024 presidential election. Yeah, sure. Like there was ever a chance he was going to lose. It's like Putin losing an election. Come on, man.
Right.
Did you see the one video where the Russian soldiers going into voting booths with a rifle, checking who people are voting for?
No.
And these are who these faggots think that this is the kind of world they want to live in. Okay, whatever. The voting's kind of retarded, but this is a different level of retardation that I frankly can't even get my head around. But whatever. Over 80% of Venezuelans live below the poverty line, adding more that 7.7 million Venezuelans have left the country since 2017. Again, they're running away from the free health care and free college education that the Marxist government promised them.
Clearly.
Yes. 6.5 million are living in Latin America and the Caribbean. Venezuelan emigration to the region and to the United States is likely to remain elevated through the next years as lack of economic opportunities are likely to persist. I wonder why they're likely to persist. Did you read that? Economic opportunities in Venezuela with their fucking Marxist government. So almost 8 million of them already taking off. Again, You can tell me about free healthcare and free education all day long, neighbor. When you can't fucking eat and can't buy shit, people leave, or they try to. And then in some cases, they build a giant wall to keep you in. But whatever. Hey, this is more of the same. Again,
Yeah.
I just wanted to go over that threat assessment. I thought it was a pretty good one, pretty solid one. And then next, and then certainly, I guess not least, we're going to talk about some of you fuckers. All right. Not the gang here. I'm Gen X, Angel and Christopher, early millennials. And it's interesting that millennials are no longer taking the heat. Remember, for a while, people were shitting on millennials. Well, it turns out it wasn't really millennials that were terrible. It's the dead ass, for real, bussin' crowd that has completely destroyed our language and are just running around like retards with their head cut off. It's out of control. And this is an interesting article. The rough years that turned Gen Z into America's most disillusioned voters. Never mind the rest of us that watched two fucking buildings get slammed into by hijackers from Saudi Arabia, people jumping out of those fucking buildings. And don't tell me I was 4 and I remember everything. You don't fucking remember shit. You're not old enough to remember shit. Okay? We fucking remember it. Christopher and I were adults. Okay? Fucking adults. All right? Angel, you were what, in a sophomore in high school? Yeah. Okay, damn near an adult. If you're 4 or 3 years old when 9/11 happened, you don't know shit. Okay? You don't know shit. All right? So go, don't, you can't claim that. You can't. The disaster that happened afterwards, you are a part of. But don't tell me that that's what got. Oh, I was disillusioned since 9/11. How old were you? 3? Fuck you. You don't know anything. Okay? The rough years that turned Gen Z into America's most disillusioned voters from the Wall Street Journal. Kali Gadi was a college senior when the pandemic abruptly upended her life plans and made her part of a big and deeply unhappy political force that figures to play a huge role in the 2024 election season. Her graduation was postponed, and she was let go from her college job, and her summer internship got canceled. She spent the final months of school taking online classes from her parents' house. You would think that there's a plan B or a safety net, she said, but there's actually not. Once again, naivete, okay? You haven't been around long enough to know that nobody has a plan B, okay? Plan B's at the store when he knocks you up, okay? Today, Getty, 25, works as an office manager in Atlanta, earning less than $35,000 a year. What'd you get your fucking degree in? That's my first question. 35 grand a year, what'd you get your degree in? If it's anything fucking stupid, I don't want to hear you complain. In her spare time, she uploads videos to TikTok, where she's amassed thousands of followers. Now that's a risk being taken away, too. All this has left her dejected and increasingly skeptical of politicians, playing into our first story. Young adults in Generation Z, those born in 1997 or after, have emerged from the pandemic feeling more disillusioned than any living generation before them, according to long-running surveys and interviews with dozens of young people around the country. They worry they'll never make enough money to attain the security previous generations have achieved, citing their delayed launch into adulthood, an impenetrable housing market, and loads of student debt. Again, I want to know what her degree was in. They didn't list it. And they are fed up with policymakers from both parties. Well, we're finally getting somewhere with these people. Washington is moving closer to passing legislation to ban TikTok or force the sale of TikTok and a platform beloved by millions of young people in the U.S. Several young people interviewed by the Wall Street Journal said they spent hours each day on the app and use it as their main source of news. It's funny how quickly they passed this bill about the TikTok situation. What about the schools that are getting shot up? We're not going to pass a bill about that, Gaddy asked. No, we're going to worry about TikTok, and that just shows you where their head is. I feel like they don't really care about what's going on with humanity. She isn't alone in expressing frustration. In recent days, congressional offices have been flooded with calls from young people begging lawmakers to leave the app in place. It's amazing what happens when something you love is attacked, isn't it? It's amazing. And to her point, I don't necessarily agree with probably with the methods she would use to curtail school shootings. We probably disagree on how to stop people from doing that. But it's funny how those of us who have tried to defend our rights from the government, actual enumerated rights, from the government, and nobody fucking takes action like this. But damn it, they take those fucking half-naked dancers away from you, and you motherfuckers are all worked up. All worked up.
Oh, of course.
Gen Z's widespread gloominess is manifesting an unparalleled skepticism of Washington and a feeling of despair that leaders of either party can help. Young Americans' entire political memories are subsumed by intense partisanship and warnings at the looming end of everything from U.S. democracy to the planet. When the darkest days of the pandemic started to end, inflation reached 40-year highs, the right to an abortion was overturned, wars in Ukraine and the Middle East raged. All of the turmoil is being broadcast, sometimes with the most apocalyptic language or graphic video on social media. Dissatisfaction is pushing some young voters to third-party candidates in this year's presidential race and causing others to consider staying home on election day or leaving the top of the ticket blank. While young people typically vote at lower rates, a small number of Gen Z voters can make the difference in an election with 4 years, which 4 years ago was decided by tens of thousands of votes in several swing states. That just magically appeared in Detroit, Michigan. But whatever, we're not going to worry about that. 83 million of you voted for Joe Biden. That's what I'm told. And 83 million of you, along with the 70 some million that voted for the other guy, are all retards. So congratulations on your cheaply purchased victory. Roughly 41 million Gen Z Americans age 18 to 27 will be eligible to vote this year, according to Tufts University. Gen Z is among the most liberal segments of the electorate. Great, wonderful, according to surveys. But recent polling shows them favoring Biden only by a slim margin. Some are unmoved by those who warn that a vote against Biden is effectively a vote against Trump, arguing that this isn't enough to earn their support. We're just kind of over it, Naomi Pena, 20, of Tucson, Arizona, resident who works in a juice bar, said of her generation's attitude towards politics. We don't even want to hear about it anymore, Pena said. She may not vote because she thinks it won't change anything. She's right. There's just going to be more fighting. Biden won in Arizona by just over 10,000 votes. The pessimistic mood contrasts with what many, in what many ways are relatively healthy economic circumstances. Really interesting. They must not go to the store. Many millennials, those born before, between, excuse me, 1981 and 1996, started careers around the 2007-9 recession. Gen Z workers are entering the labor market during a historically strong stretch. For the last year, the unemployment rate for those in their late teens and early 20s has averaged near its lowest in at least half a century, according to the Labor Department. Student debt has fallen as a share of income, with the Biden administration canceling $138 billion in federal student loans. So that's like eight people. Great, nice job. More under 35-year-olds own homes than before the pandemic. Young people have been hit by inflation, but some measures less than other age groups, according to a survey of consumers by the University of Michigan. Young people say there's plenty of evidence to the contrary. Among adults under 30, credit card and auto loan delinquencies are increasing. Savings have dwindled since reaching pandemic highs. Rent has more than doubled since 2000, far outpacing the growth of incomes of the same period, according to Moody's Analytics. More young people spend 30% or more of their income on rent than any other age group. A Wall Street Journal poll conducted last month found more than three-quarters of voters under 30 think the country's moving in the wrong direction, a greater share than any other age group. Nearly one-third of voters under 30 have an unfavorable view of both Biden and Trump, and a higher number than all voters. 63% of young voters think neither party adequately represents them. Now we're getting somewhere. That's good. That is that 63% of young voters think neither party adequately represents them. I mean, those are rookie numbers. We need to bump those numbers up, but to me, that's promising. I don't know about everybody else, but that skepticism is great, okay? Because maybe there'll be some kind of change if nobody, like, what if they had an election and nobody showed up, right? It's kind of, I mean, that would be wonderful, but anyway, I digress. The NORC at the University of Chicago, a nonpartisan research organization, has measured Americans' political attitude since the early 1970s. An analysis of its polling shows that a swath of Gen Z, those 18 to 25 when the surveys were taken, reported lower levels of happiness and were less inclined to trust people than older generations when they are at the same age. When asked if they had confidence in a range of public institutions, Gen Z's faith in them was generally below that of older cohorts at the same point in their lives. One-third of Gen Z Americans describe themselves as conservative, according to the 2022 General Social Survey. This is a larger share identifying as conservative than with millennials. Gen X and baby boomers took the survey when they were the same age, though some of those differences were small and within the survey's margin of error. I feel like Gen X was probably the most liberal out of all of them. I mean, the millennials may be close, but like, I know plenty of people that are in my generation that are fucking complete and total shit libs. I mean, retarded beyond description. I feel like Gen X was far more rebellious. Baby boomers, I don't know. Didn't we have the hippies? Aren't the hippies part of the baby boomer generation? So.
I don't know. I get confused by all of this because it changes and it's different on every article that I read. Like, so from what I understand, 1980s is considered into the baby boomer generation, like from 1980 to 1981 or 83, and then it moves up to Gen X and then millennials start in 2000. Like,
No.
that's what it says in that article. If you look at the graphs in that article,
Well, yeah, if you come down, but I don't know where you're seeing, like, I don't know if it's like if you come down here, okay, share of 18 to 25 year olds, they have said heart, this is taken at the time when people in these generations, this is the age in which people were polled at different times.
but
So.
it show this. Okay, so if you go down and you look at the graph that
Yeah.
says pessimism among US 12th graders, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the lighter line
Mm-hmm.
is what they say baby boomers are. And that line goes to 1981 or 82.
Okay.
Then from 82 on to, I don't know, 1998 or so, that's considered Gen X.
I don't know why
Then,
they've designed the graph like this.
yeah, and it's always different. Like,
Because baby boomers are 100% not being born in the 70s and 80s.
I'm
I think
just
they
saying,
close off at 66
it's
or
confused.
70.
Yeah, it's confusing. Like, every single time I read an article, they have different start dates and end dates for these quote named generations. So I don't even know, but yeah, apparently, maybe they probably are hippies.
46 to 64. So yeah, that is, those are the hippie fuckers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. 46 to 64. That's them. And then Gen Xers come after them. And then Millennials. And then Z. Generation Alpha. What the fuck is this?
I don't just you they
People
just
born in the early 2010s. God, that's. I'm getting too old for this shit. This is crazy. This is crazy.
just making shit up. It doesn't
Making
even
shit.
matter. They're
But
just people.
I think that this is good here. So if you look, we have another graph here. It's a share of 18 to 25 year olds that say have hardly any confidence in the following. Gen Z beat my generation, your guys' generation, and the boomers when it comes to hardly any confidence in the Supreme Court, 28%. Now, taken at the time of this polling, this probably is a direct reflection on the reversal of Roe v. Wade, right? 100%, because the millennials are down at 8%. Okay, so that's when it was more solid, because I think that that's what they're playing on. Gen X, 17% at the time, and 13% of the boomers. Hardly any confidence in Congress. I am surprised that 20% of boomers at the time of their survey, because I take it as boomers being flag salute motherfuckers that will trust anything. Like, I mean, really, at least that's what it seems like. That's how they behave. Gen X, we're at fucking 10%. Any confidence, hardly any confidence. It's kind of low. Again, the millennials, 16%, but again, Gen Z, you guys are at 34%. So I mean, that's promising. Hardly any confidence in the executive branch. The reason why that's at 44% of boomers when they were surveyed, I guarantee you, has to do with fucking Watergate. I will guarantee you that's a Watergate reflection right
Yeah,
there.
because the year,
100%.
like the years vary from X, you know, what was that graph? What did it say? That it was doing years conducted between 1972 and 2002.
So I'm betting that is Watergate. Okay. And then 21% for Gen Xers. I mean, what? Iran-Contra, Clinton getting his dick sucked by the Jewish intern, whatever. 28%, that's for millennials. So that's you motherfuckers having to put up with George W. Bush. into Obama stan, and then 37%. So the Gen Z is not as bad as the boomers. I'm telling you, that 44% spike has exactly correlated with fucking Watergate. I'm betting you. And then hardly any confidence in the press. The boomers are the lowest, and that is 100% on. Like that is dead on. Whereas you kids like to say dead ass, for real, on God, no cap. That is one. That is a reflection of their adherence that they believe the newspapers tell the truth and the press is telling the truth. You see that now on Facebook. You see that they believe anything that the fucking newspaper says. Let's see here, 28% for my generation, Generation X. Okay. 41% for millennials. You guys see, that's the thing. Millennials get a bad rap, but they're skeptical. They're fairly skeptical. And then the Zoomers, 52% hardly any confidence in the press. This is promising. So I don't take a lot of this as being negative. Maybe Gen Z, despite the fact they don't speak English, there's some hope here. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens here. Previous generations had exciting candidates like Bill Clinton and Obama. Politics is old man theater these days. Gen Z has every reason in the world to be bitter. If we if the world we've been ruining since the 1980s has continued on without much change from the neoliberal axiom, Gen Z is the group getting nothing but its ashes. Millennials have hope, had hope, and I agree with that until they saw the ladder being pulled from them when they were getting close to it. Gen Z is starting with the ladder completely out of play. The good news, it can't last. It's unsustainable. I have to agree with that a little bit. I do. Millennials definitely, I think, again, the 9/11 shit was a real, like, again, that's, I've used this phrase before, the Franz Ferdinand moment. And I think millennials and Gen Xers both kind of, it's like our thing. It's like when that happened, you know, that's your innocence being completely and totally taken away if you still had it at that point, despite all the things, the horrors that happened before that event. And then, of course, the two wars. I mean, just the Patriot Act, all that shit. Like, I think, I don't know, man. I would figure that Gen Xers and millennials would be the most cynical, but I can understand Gen Z being like, because a friend of mine, a friend of Angel and ours, was telling us about how much he was paying rent for essentially a fucking closet. And I'm astounded at what rent prices are right now for people. Like, astounded. That's why so many folks have roommates. Like, we have friends that have like three roommates because the shit's just unaffordable. You know what I mean? And again, you adjust for inflation, you can get be paid $21 an hour, but when your fucking rent is $2,200 a month and you haven't even bought fucking toilet paper or groceries yet, good luck. And why do you have to work two fucking jobs, right? You know? But again, I'm hopeful with the skepticism because maybe these fuckers that don't speak English will finally come around to the fact that these people don't work for you and they're not interested in helping you. We'll see what happens. Again, I'm hopeful that they're very, very skeptical with the press, because as Michael Malice points out, the press are the enemy of the people. I agree with that. So there's again, silver lining I like to take from some of this, but you know, when the girl's complaining about working as an office manager for 35K in fucking Atlanta, I have to ask, what did you get your degree in? Because there's office managers that get paid $45,000, $50,000 a year. The other thing is too, you know what, if you want to make money and you want to move somewhere, like you have to have a willingness to relocate for some of these jobs that you want to make X amount of dollars. But she obviously has hundreds of TikTok followers, so I'm sure she'll work out just fine. Are they really going to get, like, how do you think this TikTok shit's going to work out, Chris? Do you really think they're going to ban this motherfucker?
I don't think so.
Neither do
I
I.
it's nothing but posturing.
I agree. I agree. Angel, what do you think about all this?
TikTok? I mean, I don't even know, like, I mean, certainly they could. They did that with, as an example, so Alex Jones had his own app available on the
Oh,
app
I
stores,
remember that.
and probably several other people, but he's the only one that, like, I actually had the app, and it got taken off of like all platforms, like fucking, you know, banhammered. Like you can't get, you know, you couldn't get their app.
Yep.
At, you know, I don't know if that's changed since then. But yeah, so if they want to, yeah, they will. I don't know that much about like the ins and outs with TikTok. It's popular. I just think that they have to figure out a way to make it the United States and not just China's, and I think they'd be good.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I don't think that I think it is posturing, and I don't think it'll happen. There's probably too many financial because there's so many people that advertise on there. When money's involved, it's going to be a different story. But anybody have anything else before we depart from our friends, Christopher?
Oh, just check us out on BitChute if you like looking at our fucking faces.
Thank you very much. What about you, boss?
Same BitChute. Also, you know, if you are a Patreon or considering becoming a patron of ours, you know, if you have any ideas for weird news that you want me to look up, I'm happy to do that. If you want to join and hear the weird news, it's pretty cool. It's, you know, specific segments and nobody else gets to hear it. So, sign up for that and send me some ideas and I'm happy to look them up.
All right, excellent. Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Fairly Decent Golf, premier sponsor of the Lake Erie Currents podcast. And I also like to thank all of our sponsors. Thank you very much. We love you. And of course, our patrons. You guys are amazing. All of our folks around the world, the 4.5 of you that are dispersed and sprinkled all over this globe, thank you very much for being a part of this. But now we've come to the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ides of March. Today is St. Patrick's Day. And if you want the luck of the Irish to be with you, there's a few things you could do to help yourself. No green eggs, no green beer. Okay? In fact, you don't want to leave your situation up to luck, right? No. You want a guarantee, right? There's a guarantee that you got right here coming up. Easter, big dinner, families getting together. Once again, maybe your first, these are big events. If you just started dating somebody, you're going to introduce them to the family, all this other good stuff, big things happening, right? It's one of the top three dinners in the United States. It's Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving, okay? So this is a big event, right? You don't want to be the smelly one at the table, now, do you? You don't want to disrespect the ham or turkey or both, all of the d delicious accoutrements that come with that meal by smelling like shit, okay? Spring is approaching. Spring into the season by washing your ass, by washing your dung ditch, by washing your ball bag, the coin purse, the bollocks, the tackle box with Todd's Gay Soap. Fat folds under tit, you name it, we've got it covered. We're going to take care of it. We're going to fist fuck the stink out of your body with Todd's Gay Soap. We are working on getting the soap on there. Todd is fighting it. He is lazy and he has admitted his words, not mine. We're working on the gay laziness and get that gay soap back up there for you to wash your asshole and all the wonderful things that you need to do with this soap to make you as appealing as possible, to make you fresh smelling, detergent free, cold pressed gay soap to your supple ass. We recommend Todd's Gay Soap because Todd's Gay Soap is.
So for that ass. And if you want your lady to polish that knob like corn on the cob, use Todd's Gay Soap, baby. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Love the support. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Stay fresh, okay, everybody? Take care.
Okay, bye.